Thanks for being here tonight. I want to talk to you about Anchored in the Storm. It's just everywhere we turn, we're praying. I'm really grieved about this. I was sharing with some people before the service, you know, when this thing hit, all the power was taken out, but just in the last few days, I guess people have gotten to where they're getting some cell service, so a lot of videos are being uploaded. And it's just horrendous, the magnitude of what happened, particularly up in the Carolinas and so forth, is just almost of a biblical order. I mean, it's just terrible. And it's heartbreaking. I watch those and just weep. And you may be in a different kind of storm tonight. We know a lot of people in our nation are dealing with literal storms, but a lot are dealing with internal storms, things going on in their family, finances, health, and so forth. So this is the message on my heart for tonight, Anchored in the Storm. And we're going to be sharing out of Psalm 145 tonight. I don't have the whole psalm up there for you. I do have some observations I'm going to be making, but I'm just going to read the 145th psalm tonight. And if you would, just open your heart to receive the reading of God's Word. And I'm just going to read it straight through without any commentary, then we'll go back. This was a psalm of David. I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty, and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name forever and ever. That's 21 verses that make up Psalm 145, and we don't have time to work our way all the way through these tonight, but as I was reading this, really what one thing I noticed was how he kept coming back to the covenant name of God, Yahweh, at different places. And so what I'm going to do is just lift out the truths around those sections where he's talking about everything that he was going to do in praising the Lord, magnifying the Lord, when he would just say, the Lord is. And when he pointed to an attribute of God. And so I'm going to point some of these out to you tonight to encourage you that even in the middle of the storm, sometimes you may think, well, I'm anchored in the storm. Don't look like I can get out of it. I'm right in the middle of it and can't get loose. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being settled and stable, that you're gonna make it through the storm. That you're not going to let the winds and the waves and the turbulence created by the storm you're in to move your eyes off of where they need to be, or move your faith off the one who is utterly faithful to you, and that's the Lord. First thing I want you to notice in verse 3, he says, the Lord is greater than your storm. Now, if you'll notice there on the graphic, I put the Hebrew word there for Yahweh. It's Hebrew letters, and in the Hebrew there, the divine, it's called the divine name. It's referencing the covenant established between God and Israel. But Yahweh would be Lord with all capitals. And if you, most of your Bibles in Psalm 145, there's places where Lord is mentioned and it's all caps. That's when the word Yahweh or Jehovah, some say Yah, the reason there's variation is you have all consonants and no vowels, so you fill in the vowels in these Hebrew words. So there's four Hebrew letters there, Yod, He, Vav, He, and you read it from, not like English, from left to right, but you read it from your right to the left. I don't know if my little pointer there is, it's not working, but you can see there, that's the four letters, and so depending on if you put A's, the vowels, depending on what you put on there, it changes the pronunciation of that name. But it's the divine name. When God revealed himself to Moses, say that I am has sent you. The God who continues to be who he's always been. That everlasting to everlasting, he is God. So in verse 3, the psalmist says, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Direct quote, great is the Lord. So the Lord is greater than your storm. We're applying these truths to the storms. He's greater than your storm. I love that word unsearchable there in the Hebrew because it means beyond our ability to comprehend. You know, you go out on a star-studded night or when the sky's clear so you can see the stars that are always there. It's just phenomenal that God spoke all of that into existence by fiat. He declared it and it was. Spoke it and it came into being. And I grew up learning about the nine planets. And we weren't seeing far enough. Now there's over 5,600 of them that they've identified. And scientists tell us that they now believe there's probably as many planets as there are stars. So there would be billions of them. When they get to where they can see farther, they just see stuff they've never seen before. That's been there because God spoke it into existence. That's dumbfounding, isn't it? I mean, just think of how great God is. And if you want to go the other direction, not only the macro world around us, but the micro world. The more powerful they get the telescope, they just keep finding smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller things that God has created. You know, when I was younger, you had protons and neutrons and an atom and molecule. That's about it. But now they got quarks and all this these other little bitty things, I call them. But God designed and engineered all of that. And that's fascinating that he would do all of that in the macro world and all of that in the micro world, and yet he knows your thoughts, knows everything about you, always has, even before you were, he knew about you because there's no knowledge outside the realm of his knowing. That's how great he is. And the enemy wants to come to you in your storm and make you think God has forgotten your address. God doesn't know what you're going through. He must not really understand it, or something else would be happening. No, no, no. One way that you praise your way through the doubts that the enemy wants to assail you with is you begin to declare and stand on and praise God for his greatness. The Lord is greater than my storm. Amen. And the next thing I want you to notice, not only is the Lord greater in your storm, the Lord is gracious in your storm. Listen to what he says in verse 8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. I love that, the fact that God is slow to anger. If he is like some of us, well, we wouldn't be here tonight, would we? Because if he behaved like we do sometimes, we get mad and irate, we'd be toast, and then it's like, whoops. But God is slow to anger. He's compassionate and full of mercy. He says that. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. That's amazing. It's amazing. The Lord is gracious. Grace, in New Testament terms, we get a fuller understanding of it. But grace really is when God supplies to us what we don't have in and of ourselves in the way of power and ability to live the way he created us to live, to do what we need to do. In other words, it is God's power given to you to enable you to do the will of God. And you know when it's harder, the hardest sometimes to do the will of God? In the storm. Because the enemy uses all of that as evidence. Well, he must not care about you. Why would you be in a fix like this? Well, where is God if he's so great? Why didn't he do it? But what God will do is he's promised us that we'll never be tempted beyond what we're able to bear. Now, I know that's related to stepping into sin, but sometimes it's in the storms that we can start stepping on into sin, right? Stepping on those landmines and our flesh blows up. He is gracious. He will grace us with what we need in those tough, trying times, the storms of life. We were talking out in the Cummins area again about the hurricane and the flooding in the Carolinas and up in that area, and how so many of those people, they got up one morning, you know, in their nice house, their comfortable houses, and before they went to, well, when they went to bed that night, they didn't have a bed to go in because their houses were gone. All their possessions were gone, completely obliterated, devastated. But in the middle, even in the middle of that, you listen to them and you'll hear people giving God praise. I'm still alive. I survive. And those that have lost loved ones, there's a grace and a comfort that God gives. Don't forget that in your storm, that doesn't mean God's just doing this. You ain't getting nothing. No, he will give you grace. And you know the pathway to grace, Scripture says, is you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. He gives grace to the humble. He will supply you with that grace. And some of you know, experientially maybe more than others because you've suffered great loss. You've gone through great trials. You've borne up under great pain. And maybe in the middle of it, most of us will flex the wrong way here and there, but you came through it and you look back and you give God praise because you know you would not have made it had God not graced you and helped you. The next thing I want you to notice is the Lord is good in spite of the storm. We sang about his goodness tonight as Jake and Rachel and Anna led us up here tonight. And this is part of what the psalmist says in verse 9. He says, the Lord is good to all and his tender mercies are over all his works. Up in verse 7, he says, they shall utter the memory of your great goodness and shall sing of your righteousness. That's a good truth to plug in here, that when you're being tempted, the enemy will always come and cause you to question the goodness of God. I recently had somebody blow up on me about this because I was trying to encourage him and say, I want you to know that God is good and God loves you. And they emphatically told me they didn't believe that and added a bunch of stuff to that. And very angry. Isn't that something? But that just shows you the degree of how the enemy will work on people. To doubt God's goodness. God is good. He's a good Father. He's a good God. He cannot be contrary to who He is, and He's good. Even his judgments, there's a goodness about them. The Lord is good to all.
Well, I see how good he is to some folks, but I don't know about me.
Well, my goodness, you must have some breath still working in your body for you to say that. You know, every breath we breathe is a reflection of the goodness and grace of God, the general grace of God, at least upon people. The Lord is good in spite of the storm. And the reason I said in spite of the storm is because these storms, they're like the devil's, can be the devil's public broadcasting system. You know, oh, you thought God was good. Because the enemy, Jesus rebuked storms. And he wasn't rebuking anything his father was doing. I mean, I'd stay away from that if I were you. Don't rebuke the things that God does. But you rebuke all you want to when the devil's up to something. The Lord is good to all, and he's good in spite of the storm. He is good in spite of the storm. And it's like I shared Sunday, we have to learn to see the good. Look for the gold. Look for where God's working. Because the enemy will want you to focus on all the bad. Listen, don't marinate in bad news. Don't slow roast on what the devil's doing. Don't dive deep into the world of darkness and all the devil's doing out there. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be wise concerning what he's doing, but don't marinate in that. It does something to you. It'll make you cynical. It'll make you doubtful. It'll disillusion you. It'll warp your vision. God is good in spite of the storm. Nick, you get that microphone. Share that story that Mary Wilkins just sent us. Let's talk about how good God is.
So Mary sent this from North Carolina just a little bit ago. She said today was the first day she cried. They went to a new area and it was completely devastated. But she said, but there was a police officer out yesterday making his rounds. He saw an arm sticking up out of the mud. He went over to try and pull at it, and the hand of a 12-year-old girl grabbed his arm. She was alive for 12 days in the mud.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for letting that police officer see that hand and all that debris sticking out. I mean, look at, God spared that little girl's life. Thank you, Jesus. Pastor Dot, would you take that same microphone? You saw some of God's goodness today concerning these storms, you and Miss June.
June and I were getting some stuff, tents and sleeping bags, et cetera, at one of the sporting good places in town. And so we had it picked out and went back, and it was a gentleman working back there, and told him what we're trying to do. We were getting this for the hurricane victims. And so anyway, we had gotten two tents. There sleeps six each. I mean, it's a pretty good sized tent. So anyway, and then three sleeping bags. And so, and we put it in our cart. And, well, let me push it back up. No, we got this. No. He insisted on pushing our cart back up to the front. And on the way, he tells me where he used to live. Now he lives in Alabama. When we got up there, he said, they might give you a little discount. So when he got up there, he said to the lady, these people are getting this for the folks down in the hurricane issue, and you may want to give them a discount. She said, well, I don't know. Let me call my manager. And a minute, the manager comes, and we just said to her, this is what we're doing. She said, well, okay. And I'm standing here like this. I'm praying in the spirit, under my breath, praying in the spirit, claiming the favor of God over this situation. Well, I don't know what she did on the computer thing, you know how they do. And we're getting ready for a little discount, and that would have been wonderful. And in a minute, she walked toward us and said, here it is. You can have all of it. All of it. And I just started squalling. I couldn't stop it because I watched God change the situation. And you know, come to find out, I think she's a believer. So we went back and bought some more stuff, but we said we don't want a discount. We want to buy this. And I took her hand and I said, thank you so much. She starts to cry. She said, please just pray for me when you pray.
Amen.
That's the goodness of God.
Amen. Amen. The Lord's is good in spite of the storm. Next thing, the Lord will uphold you in the storm. Look at verse 14. It says that the Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. He upholds you in the storm. You keep your eyes on Him, He will uphold you. And these stories that you're hearing, those are examples of God's hands working through in the hands of other people to help uphold these people who are struggling and suffering right now. And you as a congregation, do that more often than you realize, and with different people we help here at the church that come. And that's a way of demonstrating God's goodness and God's grace. It's a way that God moves and works to help uphold people. Amen. He won't let you down. He will hold you up. Sometimes life hits you and you stagger, you stumble, and you fall. But our good, gracious, powerful God helps us up and holds us up. The Lord will uphold you in the storm. The next one, the Lord will do what's right in the storm. Look, if you will, at verse 17. The Lord is righteous in all His ways, gracious in all His works. If God's moving and God's working, whatever He's doing, it's right because He is righteous. Now, a lot of times, people will blame God for what the enemy does. Sometimes I've seen people blame God for what they themselves did through the flesh. I remember talking to a young lady one time, why did God let me marry this man? Why did God let this happen? And I asked her, I said, before you got married, did you ever one time ask God if this is the person you should marry? Well, no, I didn't. You know? And thank God that God gives grace and mercy, because all of us make bad choices at times. And His love covers a multitude of sin. And He's merciful. I'm so glad He is. But there are times that we get in it because of our own poor choices. And we don't need to lay that at His doorstep. But what we can do is we can get on our knees at His doorstep and ask for His mercy and ask for His grace and ask for His forgiveness, and because He's good, and because He's kind, and because He's compassionate, He will extend His hand to us, help us back up on our feet, hold us up, and give us a better tomorrow. That's the God that we serve right there. The Lord will do what's right in the storm. The next thing, the Lord is near and answers you when you call on Him in the storm. Listen to verses 19 and 20. Excuse me, 18 through 20. The Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear Him. He will also hear their cry and save them. Put all of it together. The Lord is near and answers at you when you call on Him in the storm. He tells us, if you'll draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. He also promises you, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Well, sometimes we'll start doing this on Him, and He's there. But when we turn and we start drawing near to Him, He's right there. And He says, He will hear our cry. He's answering our prayers. You know, some of the most powerful prayers you can pray sometimes are simply, help! Lord, help me! Lord, I'm hurting! Mercy, Lord, mercy. I remember our children, our daughter particularly, when she was little, she seemed to maybe more often and more frequently
require special attention from dad and mom. And we were trying to teach our children about how Jesus bore our punishment. And was it Carabeth or Elliot that did this? About the mercy me? Yeah, it may have been Elliot. But we're trying to, you know, we did this thing because I'd read about another pastor sometime doing this. Like, it was time to get a spanking. They had done something that's spanking worthy. And so I was going to say, what I'm going to do, Daddy's going to take you spanking for you. You're going to spank me. They didn't want to do it. Well, they did. I said, that's God's mercy. God's merciful because Jesus bore our penalty for us. Well, the next time they got in trouble, they were willing to spank me again. So that was another lesson. And then finally they got rid of this, mercy me, Daddy, mercy me. Well, our Heavenly Daddy, our Heavenly Father, mercies us, doesn't He? The Lord is near and answers you when you call on Him in the storm. And maybe it shouldn't be said, but I think sometimes in the storms, if we're not careful, we can become frustrated and distracted, and we try any and everything except this, except getting on our knees, going low, bowing before the Lord, and asking Him in His mercy and grace to help us. And it works this way. When we do that, He does what He does. Sometimes we're not getting the help we need because we're not lifting our voices and crying out to the Lord. But storms do have a way of getting us to the point where we're crying out. You know, you change because you want to, and sometimes you change because you hurt so badly you have to. I'm so grateful we serve a God that hears and answers prayers. He may not always answer just like you think He should, but He's up to something greater than what you can understand, or He's seeing farther down the road that you can see. You know, He may say yes. He may say, there's times when He may say no, and usually if He says no, He's really saying, I'm going to do this in a different way than you think I am. Because a good parent doesn't just neglect and ignore and silence their ears to their children's cries. They may not be able to do what the child's asking, but that parent will do what they can that they believe to be right and in their best interest before the Lord. Where do we get that? We get that from our Father. And then the Lord will preserve you in the storm. Psalm 145, verse 20. The Lord preserves all who love Him, but all the wicked He will destroy. Now, that second phrase, all the wicked He will restore, obviously that's a judgment thing. In the end of time, there's going to be a judgment, and there's going to be an eternal separation of people. But this idea of preserving you, if we wanted to start a testimony meeting right now, there's probably a numbers in this room where we could tell of times when we should have died or we should have been killed, but God somehow miraculously, supernaturally, it was a near miss or you felt something to move back. I remember that happening to me. And God is doing things like that to preserve us, to care for us. Yes, but Pastor, so many died in this storm. Well, all of us are going to die some way, somehow, sometime. But if you're a believer, that's the reason it's so important for people to know Jesus and to hear the gospel. Because when I read this word preserved, it took me into the New Testament where Paul talks about how we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. How God, in His grace, when we're saved, He seals us. We're His. We are spirit beings who live in a material body. When you got the gift of eternal life, you're going to live forever. Your body may come to an end. Well, it will come to an end here, But your spirit lives on, and you got a promise you're going to get a new body. You see, when you're sealed, that's God's guarantee to you that you belong to Him. It's His promise to you. He's going to take care of you. Even Paul, when he was talking about death, he said, I have a desire to go on, but I know that it's more needful for me to remain here for right now. In other words, I hadn't finished here on earth what God has given me to do yet, but when my time comes, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. That's an upgrade. And I'm not minimizing the pain and mourning that comes when we lose a loved one. I'm just saying when a believer dies and goes to be with the Lord, they're not up there crying and weeping and upset at all. But it's a sad thing for someone to step into eternity without a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. God never created a place for human beings to have to go eternally. Jesus said God created that for the devil and his angels. But people who reject Him, they're choosing sides. They'll go where He goes. The Lord will preserve you in the storm. And now here's the last thing, and I'm finished. When you get to the end of the psalm, we are admonished by what he says in verse 21. He says, my mouth, after he's shared all these wonderful things about the Lord, my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name forever and ever. The psalmist, the conclusion was, you know, after I thought about all this, I'm just going to bless the Lord forever. All flesh needs to bless the Lord forever and ever. There is just something about choosing to praise in your place of pain that does something in you, through you, for you, to you that really doesn't happen any other way. We see love at its best when Jesus is hanging on the cross. Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. Father, forgive Eddie Lawrence for all the sins he's going to commit. Forgive Mickey Lawrence for all the sins she's going to commit. You can go right down the line. He bore our sins in His body on the tree. It's the manifestation of the love of God. And we understand that no matter what storm we face, I'm not minimizing the pain. I'm not minimizing the tribulation, the turbulence, the turmoil, the chaos, the fighting, all the frustration. I'm not minimizing that at all. I'm just saying God is above. He's transcendent above that. And if we can keep our eyes on Him and believe what the Word says about Him, we can transcend that too and manifest something of the nature of Jesus Christ in the middle of the darkness that the world shrouds us with. The glory of God can be seen even in the middle of your suffering, in the middle of your loss, in the middle of your pain, in the middle of your heartache. He can be glorified. And sometimes in a way, everybody expects people to be excited about when good stuff's happening and, you know, every time you pull the slot, you're winning the lottery. Not that you should do that. But you know what I'm saying. Like when it's all cylinders clicking, you know. Yeah, it's easy to praise the Lord. But when our faith's being put to the test, then that's what we find out. That's when we find out how much unfinished work there's still to do within us by the Holy Spirit. Let's stand together. I hope you're encouraged by Psalm 145. And again, thank you for how you're responding to people that are in literal storms. That just so has moved my heart to see how your hearts have moved toward these hurting people. But I'm really grieved too. Are you? I mean, just this is really a sorrow about what's happening. And I encourage you to please be in prayer for these people. When you see it on the news, read it in the paper, try to go vertical and pray for those people. I'm going to ask our prayer team members to come that are scheduled to be up here tonight. And perhaps you're here tonight and you need someone just to pray with you about something you're facing, or it may be someone you love that's really in a tough place, and you just want to stand in their place and intercede. That we'll be here to pray with you. And I encourage you to press in to the promptings of the Holy Spirit in your heart tonight. Is there one of these particular aspects of attributes of God we've talked about that you need to press into tonight? Anything you need to lay at His feet? He is so faithful, so loving, so good, so gracious, so merciful. Lord, I lift my precious church family up to you tonight, my brothers and sisters. God, I pray that in their area of hurt and heartache tonight, that your grace would be poured out. Put your love around those who are hurting, who are lonely. Burdened, battling. May they be strengthened, Father, I ask, in Jesus' name. You come if you have need of prayer. Feel free to step out from where you are. Anyone.
Jesus, I love you. I love you. I love you. Jesus, I love you. I love you. I love you. Oh, Jesus, I love you. I love you. I love you. Love you more than anything. Jesus, I love you. I love you. I love.
If there are others that need to come, then I encourage you to come. And then we need a lot of help out in the comments area. So Robin, if you and Larry want to go out that way and help give some instructions about what we need to do. Appreciate all of you that can lend a hand. This altar remains open if you need prayer. God bless you. Have a wonderful evening, remainder of the week. And invite someone to be here this Sunday as we continue to learn about loving the way Jesus loves. I'm excited about what the Lord's showing me that I'm going to be sharing on Sunday. God bless you. Thank you for being here.
I love you. I love you.